Why is former Vice President Dick Cheney in the spotlight so much these days, attacking the policies of the Obama administration? Every other day or so, you hear him saying something like this on television.
I think those programs were absolutely essential to the success we enjoyed of being able to collect the intelligence that let us defeat all further attempts to launch attacks against the United States since 9/11. I think that's a great success story. It was done legally. It was done in accordance with our constitutional practices and principles. President Obama campaigned against it all across the country. And now he's making some choices that, in my mind, will in fact raise the risk to the American people of another attack.
And then on Face the Nation this past weekend, Cheney sided with Rush Limbaugh over whether Rush or Colin Powell was correct in whether the Republican Party should reach out to more moderates and independents.
Well, if I had to choose in terms of being a Republican, I'd go with Rush Limbaugh, I think. My take on it was Colin had already left the party. I didn't know he was still a Republican.
So is Dick Cheney hurting the Republican Party and hurting this country, for that matter, by being so outspoken? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 11 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, May the 14th. We'll let you weigh in on this hour as we talk with our guest political analyst, Charles Franklin, a professor of political science at the University of Wisconsin-Madison and co-developer of Pollster.com. Good morning.
Good morning. Good to be here.
Thanks for being here. Anyone taking polls, asking in the polls what we think of former Vice President Dick Cheney these days?
Well, there's a good bit of polling on that, and it's not real good news for the Vice President, the former Vice President. The latest poll done a week or so ago showed Cheney with about an 18% positive favorable rating. It's been in that ballpark for a while, the high teens, low 20s, but it seems to have dropped maybe 2 or 3 points in the time since he left office. In contrast, Colin Powell, who you just heard him mention, has got about an 80% positive approval rating. So there's a certain gap there between Cheney and Powell.
Yeah. What's the speculation, Professor Franklin? Why is Dick Cheney doing this? Why does he seem to be going out of his way to bash the Obama administration?
Well, I would say there are a couple of things. One is that I think is very important for the vice president, former vice president, is that if he doesn't speak up for the Bush administration's record on interrogation, or if you prefer, torture, no one else seems to be quite willing to speak up. And so I think Mr. Cheney is interested in not allowing the reputation which he's so connected to go undefended. And at this point where the Republican Party is pretty fractured, there's certainly some conservative voices speaking to that issue, but I think the vice president sees that he needs to be active in this area to provide the defense for what was done in the last administration, especially with former President Bush choosing to stay on the sidelines on this.
Yeah. Wow. How typical is it for a former vice president to be attacking a current administration?
Well, it's pretty rare. First of all, not that many people are that concerned with what former vice presidents have to say in general. It's usually the president that we remember after office, not so much with the vice president. But I'm no historian, but as far as I can recall, I can't think of a vice president, former vice president, who was this active in criticism this quickly after the change of administration. Former Vice President Gore, for example, after the closely contested 2000 election that some listeners may recall, took a while before he started openly criticizing the Bush administration, and then largely on environmental affairs. Later, he became quite an outspoken critic, but it took a while before he did that. And prior to that, I can't think of a case. Now, in fairness, it's certainly hasn't kept the Obama administration from criticizing the Bush administration, basically from day one, and blaming the Bush administration for inherited problems that Obama's now dealing with, just as President Bush didn't waste any time blaming the Clinton administration for the 2001 recession either.
Yeah, I know you're not a mind reader, but I guess just your analysis on whether Dick Cheney might be doing this to protect his legacy or the Bush administration's legacy, or if there is a genuine fear on his part that this country is in more danger now.
Right. I think there's undoubtedly a part about protecting the legacy that it, presumably, well, look, Mr. Cheney was very consistent in the way he talked about interrogation during his term of office, and I don't think you see any real change in his position in what he's saying now that he's out of office. So to that extent that you can judge intention by consistency, I think he's presenting a more consistent package than an awful lot of politicians after they're out of office, where they start to change the interpretation of what they had done. It's also interesting that for the most part, he's kept his criticisms on the national security front and has not branched out to a much broader set of criticisms of the Obama administration. And so to that extent, he seems more intent on focusing on national security issues. Now, we'll never know whether he literally believes that the country's less safe than it was. But I think we have to take him at his very public position on this, that's what seems to be motivating his critique.
Mm-hmm. Professor Franklin's watch alarm alerts me that it's time to take our weather break. You are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, talking with Professor of Political Science at UW-Madison, Charles Franklin, about former Vice President Dick Cheney. He's been in the public eye a lot lately, defending the Bush administration and sharing his views on President Obama's actions. We'll talk more about whether Dick Cheney is hurting or helping the Republican Party after the weather break, and we welcome your questions and your views on this, too, at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, talking with Charles Franklin, a professor of political science at UW-Madison, about the politics surrounding former Vice President Dick Cheney speaking out against the Obama administration so much these days. And he was also criticizing Colin Powell, as Colin Powell was saying that the Republican Party should reach out to more independents and moderates if it wants to grow. And I'm wondering, Charles Franklin, the Republican Party is struggling these days. It's trying to figure out where to go next after suffering big losses last fall. Is this something the Republican Party wants to be hearing from the former vice president?
Well, every party that's lost as badly as the Republicans have over the last, not just presidential election, but the 2006 midterm as well, and reduced to small minority status in Congress, is going to go through this period of soul searching and division within the party. We're seeing that strongly in the Republicans now between the sort of strong conservatives, especially social conservatives, but versus the more libertarian wing of the party. And I would add the elected officials who are really worried about how does the party win elections regardless of ideology. So there's a lot of division there. When you get a strong voice, whether it's Cheney's or someone else's, that's somewhat heartening to Democrats because they're arguing necessarily for a minority position. And so to that extent, Democrats are kind of enjoying seeing Republicans have this this problem. The joke I heard the other day was that, you know, as the Republican Party continues to shrink, pretty soon they won't even have enough people for a circular firing squad anymore.
Oh, no.
But they certainly seem to have a circular squad right now. Mm-hmm. But I think there's a flip side to this, and that is the Republicans need to hear voices speaking out for their positions on issues, the kinds of things that do rally the Republican core of support. And so to that extent, I think hearing a responsible elected official like Dick Cheney, Democrats will argue about responsible, but in reality, the man was elected vice president twice and has a distinguished record of public service. You may not agree with his positions. But to have him as a leading voice for the party, I think helps the base of the party rally around some things that it believes in. One of those, of course, is the still strong belief in national security and the importance of tactics that protect the country. Now, of course, there's big debate from the left about whether these tactics were helpful, whether, you know, and we won't go into all of that. But I think it's important that Republicans have leaders that they can listen to and hear who are articulating strong Republican principles. At the moment, Cheney is one of those, but others are competing to get their voices out as well.
Well, another voice that's out there was John McCain's daughter, I believe, Meghan McCain, said that the former vice president should shut up. I think she said that. And now we just noticed in U.S. News and World Report on this morning on their website, GOP strategists are hoping that Dick Cheney will shut up. So they're not everybody's happy about this.
No. And the polling numbers I cited earlier, 18% positive views of Cheney at this point, mean that when he speaks, something like 80% of the public are not favorably predisposed to listen to what he has to say. It's that 18% of presumably almost exclusively Republican and conservatives who still support him who are going to be rallied and sustained by hearing his voice. But again, the folks that want to worry about winning elections are really worried about how do you appeal to 51% of the public. And you don't really do that with spokespeople like Cheney at 18% favorability.
Mm-hmm. Rich in Houstonsford is our first caller. Hi, Rich, you're on the air.
Good morning. I just want to say, you know, unfortunately, it's coming from Cheney, but Cheney is right. I'm really worried about some of the policies that President Obama is starting to tear down our security around the country. We're getting into a point. People have to remember, whether or not they like Bush, whether or not they like Cheney, 2001 happened, okay? Nothing happened afterwards. It was the security policies of the Bush administration that prevented hundreds of incidences from happening around the country. We did not have another terrorist attack during the Bush and Cheney administration. And now, if one happens, unfortunately, we're going to be able to go, look at Obama. That's where it came from. That's why we had it, because he's tearing down our security in this country.
Rich, thank you for the call. Let me get Professor Franklin to respond. Do we know that terrorist attacks were prevented because of the Bush administration policies?
Well, this is a problem because mm-hmm. it's an area where neither the left nor the right really knows. Mm-hmm. Obviously, this is secret. And so we tend to hear Vice President Cheney talking about prevented attacks, the successful interrogations, and so on. I think virtually every listener without a top secret security clearance is really not in a position to know as a matter of fact whether that occurred or not. And so we follow the lead of the people we trust. And so as Rich is articulating, the position of Cheney and former Bush administration officials that their policies were successful in preventing terrorist attacks is something that may well be true, but it's almost impossible for a skeptic to know one way or another. And so this is the nature of political debate generally, that we tend to follow trusted leaders. But in the area of national security, and especially in this area of terrorism, we're especially driven by who we trust and who we support for what we believe about these things. And that goes back to why I was saying it's important for Cheney to be speaking out on this. If not Cheney, then someone on the Republican, in the Republican establishment, needs to be articulating that defense of the policies, just as there are Democrats very interested in pointing out the deficits of it, in arguing that harsh interrogation methods didn't work or that our techniques made the world more hostile to us. And again, Democrats hear that message and accept that. And just like me, they don't really know in a firsthand way mm-hmm. whether that really happened or not.
Let's go to Richard in Chippewa Falls. Hi, Richard.
Good morning. I appreciate the show. It's my opinion that Mr. Cheney is following the best defense is a good offense approach. As more and more evidence gets uncovered by the Obama administration that serious crimes were committed starting from the White House, he is laying a defense of being a political type, almost prisoner. As you know, it becomes apparent that Bush was pushed to the back seat, and torture, which is international, and our national laws were broken. I think that Mr. Cheney is just setting the stage for his own defense.
All right. Is this possibly a CYA media tour?
Well, I think if Cheney had said different things while he was in office, we might say that more. But I believe his defense of these policies were clear during his time in the office as well. I think one of the issues about whether there should be a congressional hearings or an independent commission to document exactly what was done during the Bush administration really goes to this question of how much further investigation will be done. Was the release of the Justice Department memos a couple of weeks ago sufficient disclosure? Now, President Obama backtracked and reversed himself on releasing new pictures of prisoner abuse, for example. And the Obama administration has so far at least tried to resist calls for further investigations. Now, the question is, do you move to investigations that lead to criminal prosecutions for the behavior, which Richard is pointing to when he calls these serious crimes? Do you lead an investigation hearings in Congress, which are really about the policy but don't lead to criminal investigation, but might lead to full documentation and sort of a truth commission about what was done during this period? Or, as seems to be the Obama administration's position, is it time to just let this fade into the past and let the historians sort it out, but don't add it to the plate of an already very full agenda, which might lead to months, if not years, of constantly looking back and focusing on the Bush administration?
Yeah, it seems as though Congress is proceeding somewhat with what Congress wants to do, though.
Well,
there was an interrogation, a torture hearing yesterday.
Absolutely, and Congress will pursue this within its committee system. Will it set up a special inquiry? Mm-hmm. How deep will it go, and so on? And what does the Obama administration do to influence that?
Try to get one more call in before news time. Brent in Appleton. Hi.
Good morning. I just want to discuss whether this is possible that people don't listen to Cheney right now, because during the Bush administration, all I believe that administration did to stay in power was to rattle the cage that you better listen to us or you will be bombed or serious things will happen. I believe they used the scare tactic to stay in power, and people now want the change. They want us to refocus on other issues other than just war. There's so much going on here at home, restructure needing, you know, energy, medical care. All of those things are important to people, and I think that you want more of a balance. And Mr. Cheney, he just keeps taking us back to the good old days of the Bush administration and war.
We get you, Brent, and I'm going to ask you, Professor Franklin, to hold your answer to that. What do the people really want when it comes to this after we check news? We're going to check news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio and then continue talking about Vice President, former Vice President Dick Cheney, after the news. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine at 7:36 on this Thursday, May the 14th. We are talking about what is former Vice President Dick Cheney up to? A lot of people are wondering that, as he is on the TV news show circuit, bashing the Obama administration for reversing war on terror policies, calling for classified memos to be released showing what information was derived from terrorist suspects when they were waterboarded, saying that President Obama is making the country less safe. We're wondering why he is doing this, how unprecedented this is, whether this is hurting the Republican Party, whether it's hurting the country. We welcome your questions and views on this at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Dick Cheney's daughter, Liz, actually got into the action a while back, talking on MSNBC's Morning Joe show.
But my dad feels very strongly that what the current administration is doing is making the country less safe, dismantling the policies that they put in place after 9/11, that we're very much focused on what we needed to do to prevent a future attack. You know, it would be the easiest thing in the world for him to sort of go fishing and spend time with his grandkids, but he worries about the world his grandkids are going to inherit.
Our guest is Charles Franklin, UW-Madison political scientist. And Professor Franklin, just before news time, we also heard from a caller who was not happy to hear Vice President Dick Cheney talking about how we are less safe now. He says that this is what the Bush administration always did, used scare tactics, and he thinks that the American public now is ready to move on and other things to focus on, and we're not afraid as Dick Cheney wants us to be.
Right. Well, I think let's back up. 9/11 did happen. The country was attacked. Some 3,000 Americans were killed in that. And the Bush administration's reaction to it formed a core part of the first Bush administration. And Republicans used the issue of security in the 2002 elections nationally and in Senate races especially. And that carried on into 2004. As the war rose in salience and security or terrorism declined, I think we've seen a shift. And now with the economic crisis, we've seen a further shift away from anti-terrorism movements or policies. This Cheney dialogue, both his daughter and the vice president, are reemphasizing the question of security against terrorist attack. But I think the issue here that the Obama administration needs to confront is the Obama administration really dismantling anti-terrorism policy, as we just heard in the sound clip, or are they shifting the nature of their policy? So one could argue, I imagine the administration would argue, that its increase of 21,000 extra troops going into Afghanistan, its shuffling of leadership at the top generals in Afghanistan, represents the administration very aggressively responding to terrorist organizations that have existed and not been effectively rooted out during the last 8 years. And so I think this is a lively debate, but the Obama administration needs to be more clear about how it's pursuing anti-terrorism. And this, again, comes back to why it's important on the Republican side that whether it's Cheney or someone else, there needs to be a lively critique from the right about what role our policy is pursuing or how effectively our policy is being pursued against terrorism. But there needs to be an equally strong reaction from the administration to explain why its policies, which include closing Guantanamo prison, which is subject of dispute from the right, why are those things the right things to do for national security, and why does it not represent becoming less safe? So I think in the long run, this is a healthy dialogue for both sides to pursue. And it's highly contested and debatable from both sides as well.
And our lines are full, attesting to that. Renee in East Troy, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I have three comments. Number one, in terms of national security, as I recall, 9/11 happened on Dick Cheney's watch. Number two, when people were critical of the Bush administration's policies during their 8 years, they were called traitors. So I don't understand why Dick Cheney feels perfectly all right with criticizing the Obama administration. And number three, I forgot what I was going to say.
Yeah, we kept on holding.
Number three. If our policies were totally legal and constitutional, why is the right so adamant against, and for that matter, Obama? Doesn't want to more photographs to go public because that would put our troops in danger if what we did was so perfectly all right. And I'll take my comments off the air. Thank you.
Okay. Well, I think this is exactly one of the responses that makes sense from the left, that who's responsible for 9/11? Was it an administration that had been in office about 8 months? Was it the Clinton administration's 8 years before that? Was it the CIA's fault or the NSA's fault? I mean, all of those are issues that here, 8 years later, are far from settled. And it's certainly true that administrations, and especially the Bush administration, were very quick to play the national security card to blunt criticism or to deny criticism. I think one of the great ironies of this Cheney initiative is his call for the declassification of memos in the aftermath of an administration that certainly treated these memos and practices as matters of high national security, but now calling for them to be released.
And the photographs of the prison torture.
I think the question here is, again, one of full release of all the documents that relate to this. And from the president's point of view, I expect it's also the issue of, once you're in the Oval Office, of releasing things that are certainly going to be damaging to American images, or the American image, and especially President Obama's attempts to rebuild the national image abroad, that these images are undoubtedly harmful to that. But I think the argument from the left would be, we've already seen the pictures from Abu Ghraib, how much worse could these be? But in the interest of full disclosure, we should be letting these things out. So I think you're seeing some real tension between coming clean about exactly what happened versus a legitimate national security or commander-in-chief's concern about potential ramifications.
Thank you, Renee. Mark in Green Bay is with us now. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Julie. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for calling.
Hello, Bill. Hello, Charles. I just came back from Iraq in October, and I have an interesting take on it. Been following the news. And with regards to former Vice President Dick Cheney, I certainly would agree with him that his premise that the country is less safe through the release of what used to be classified documents certainly goes forward towards making the case that if we're gonna do this kind of thing, we need to be prepared for the eventual outcome of what will happen. And in particular defense of Mr. Cheney, it seems to me that the argument was made well enough in advance of the President Obama administration coming in that releasing this information would do not so much irreparable harm to Dick Cheney, but damage to the office of the president and the vice president. And that's all been ignored. But now that the damage has been done to Dick Cheney, I guess my point is he's making the claim that, hey, wait a minute, if we're going to release some of the documents that incriminate me, we need to release the documents that sit down and say, hey, this is my case. And I don't know if we live in a day and age in which a biased press would be willing to support that claim. I guess my point is, if we're going to go ahead and make the claim against former Vice President Cheney by releasing certain documents, his claim is that why not release documents that would prove his point as well.
Mark, thank you so much for calling, and welcome back from Iraq. Professor Franklin, we have a weather break in just a minute or so if you want to get a start.
Yeah, Mark, first, thank you for your service. I think the issue here is one of what we do when we're dealing in classified areas. If it's damaging to release classified material, it's damaging to both sides. Releasing documents which show effectiveness is certainly appropriate for giving Cheney and the Bush administration the opportunity to show that these methods were effective, certainly a key argument. But they also go directly to that problem of national means and methods and what do we do and how effective are they. You know, this is, as I'm sure Mark knows, one of the reasons why policy for a long time has simply been that in national security issues, you simply have no comment. Precisely because the more you release, the more you argue about it, the more you give up any control over knowledge of means and methods.
We'll check the weather. And then I am going to share a news from yesterday. Senator Russ Feingold did have a comment on this, and we'll hear what he has to say about those memos that former Vice President Dick Cheney wants to have released, showing the effectiveness of waterboarding. And we'll talk more about why former Vice President Dick Cheney is speaking out so much lately, criticizing the Obama administration. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.
What I think is important is that there be some balance to what's being released. The fact of the matter is the administration appears to be committed to putting out information that sort of favors their point of view in terms of being opposed to, for example, enhanced interrogation techniques. But so far they've refused to put out memos that were done by the CIA that I've requested be declassified that show the positive results of the detainee program and all of the information and the intelligence we were able to garner from these high-value detainees.
That was former Vice President Dick Cheney just the other day on Fox News, on a Fox News program, once again renewing his call that these memos be declassified that show what was gained from the, as he put it, the enhanced interrogation techniques on terrorist suspects. The I guess that was last night on Your World with Neil Cavuto. Meanwhile, at this congressional hearing looking into the torture matter, Senator Russ Feingold, a Wisconsin Democrat, rejected claims made by Mr. Cheney in recent days that classified CIA memos prove that waterboarding and other techniques approved by the Bush administration protected the nation more from more terrorist attacks after 9/11. Nothing I have seen, Russ Feingold says, including the two documents which former Vice President Cheney has repeatedly referred to, indicates that torture techniques were necessary. A little surprised that Senator Feingold is saying that, Professor Franklin?
Well, there's first of all a question of how do you handle classified material that you're allowed to see. I have no idea whether he's in line with that or not. But it certainly shows that the case for release of the documents is simply to reach a point where we have a clear text in front of us, mm-hmm. which both sides have to talk to, as opposed to Cheney emphasizing the parts that are positive for his case, and in this case Feingold, claiming that he doesn't see any of that in there. Well, as long as we don't see the documents, all we have is he said and he said, and it's impossible to know. But let me just make the point that as long as we're talking about selective release of this document or that document, it's impossible to reach a comprehensive understanding of whether these techniques were successful or not. One memo doesn't close the case. Two memos don't close the case. You know, I think in some sense the more constructive argument is what the nation's policy should be with regard to the techniques that we use to get information. Cheney has made a strong argument for why harsh interrogation techniques are justified. John McCain made strong arguments in the Senate arguing against torture or harsh interrogation. Whether it works or not is a side issue for whether it's a moral thing that the country should do or not. And then there is the side issue of, well, if you don't think it's necessarily immoral and impermissible, how far does the country, as a matter of policy, want to go with these things? I think that's a debate that the political process can have and can raise these issues. As long as we're focused on whether a particular interrogation produced valuable information or not, or whether that was bad information and so on, that's something that's almost impossible for the political process to really resolve. Yeah. In part, the reason we have secret security organizations is they're the ones that are supposed to evaluate this, not that we settle the issue of the efficacy in public.
Next, we go to Mike in Appleton. Hi, Mike.
Yeah, good morning. First of all, I'd like to congratulate your guest for presenting a very balanced view on a very complicated issue.
Yes, he does a great job.
Thank you both.
I think, generally speaking, I think Cheney's being honest about his presentation. I think he really, you know, I think he really thinks and feels this. I also think that it's, of course, the Democrats' worst nightmare that something happened, and you know, it most probably will. Now, if there's going to be a truth commission and investigation, I kind of have a feeling that the Democrats are going to pull back because, without a doubt, there were a lot of Democrats who were complicit in this, people who attended briefings, who knew what was going on, and you know, said nothing. And, you know, now 6 years later, now they're saying, well, you know, I didn't know, or you know, they're changing their tune. And
Mike, thanks a lot. We have lots of other callers, so I want to get that point to Professor Franklin as we're running out of time. Nancy Pelosi supposedly knew about the waterboarding, though that's being debated as to whether she knew it was happening.
Exactly. And I think one of the issues here is that with congressional oversight and especially in the immediate aftermath of 9/11, when partisans of both sides were pretty vociferous about do whatever it takes, you know, it's not unusual for the country to cross lines in times of crisis. Think of the incarceration of Japanese citizens, for example, in World War II.
All right, then we'll take another call. Susan in Coon Valley. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. I think your guest alluded to the base of everything we're talking about. He mentioned at the beginning that something about having to maintain his legacy. Well, any of us that understand human behavior also know that anybody that goes to the extreme that Dick Cheney has gone to self-serve his legacy is pretty bizarre. And it gets tied back to his power, that he wants to maintain this image. And I guess today, hearing these discussions, maybe it'll arouse some more defensiveness on the Democrats. I don't know. But I would not give this guy the time of day. Thank you.
All right. I'm Susan. Should no one give the vice president the time of day?
Well, I mean, clearly that depends on your values rather than any kind of absolute. I think it's totally normal for politicians to want to protect their power and their reputation. You know, why the vice president is doing this, I think, is also open to interpretation.
Absolutely. We didn't talk at all about he is writing his memoirs. There has been speculation that he wants these memos released to include them in his memoirs, and he, you know, he just wants to be in the public eye.
Well, it's certainly possible, but I think Cheney's memoirs are likely to be pretty popular. Just as a matter of lots of interest in what he has to say. And aside from this issue of his vice presidency, which is, you know, largely clouded in secret locations and so on, you know, he also had a long career in high levels of government in the past. So I don't think this is a guy whose memoirs are going to immediately be remaindered. I think they're likely to be pretty popular bestseller. Be interesting to see whether they outsell President Bush's memoirs or not.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Susan, for the call. Valerie in West Dallas. Hello, you're on the air.
Good morning. I'm enjoying your show very much this morning.
Well, thank you for calling.
And my comment is we have to remember that we have freedom of speech in this country, and I personally hope that Mr. Cheney keeps talking because it only proves to me what a mean-spirited, evil person he is. Thank you. You don't have to comment.
I don't think you're going to. I thank you, Valerie, very much. I don't think you're going to agree with our caller, Professor Ferguson.
Well, you twisted it at the end in a really amusing and interesting way. But I will agree with your premise that I think former elected officials don't give up the First Amendment when they leave office. And whether you think that's good for the vice president or bad for the vice president, it may be that decorum in the past has prevented former officials from speaking. But I think that in this case, there's certainly a free speech right that's serving a purpose.
Yeah, certainly he has the right to speak, and he is being invited to speak on a number of cable news programs. We had a caller just briefly, Professor Franklin, said that with this biased media, you're not going to hear both sides. I'm wondering what you think of the media coverage of this.
Well, I think that you know, certainly, the one thing you said, cable shows, but in fact, Cheney was on the Sunday morning.
That's right,
broadcast,
he's on Face the Nation
as well. Mm-hmm. And so, there's no problem with him getting his voice out. And one of the best things about those interview shows is you see it straight from him. The interpretation that you see certainly is going mm-hmm. to be radically different if you're watching MSNBC or you're watching Fox. And so there's certainly media filters out there. One of the nice things about the profusion of media sources these days may be bad news for newspapers and news organizations, but there's certainly plenty of channels for people to see what Cheney said and to raise voices yeah. on both his side and against him.
I noted, we noted earlier in the program that some Republican Party or GOP strategists were hoping that the vice president would maybe tone it down or stop making so many media appearances. Do you suspect the former vice president will listen to that advice?
Oh, no. No, I think the vice president's going to go his own way. I think what we're seeing is the party is trying hard to reshape itself and to bring new voices out. And as we're seeing a struggle within the party for whose voices are going to get heard, there's a lot of tension between the new voices and the old. And to that extent, I think a lot of the folks that want to worry about getting elected or reelected would rather move on to the new voices rather than continue to focus on the old ones.
Charles Franklin, thank you very much for being here.
Okay, thank you.
And I agree with our caller. You did a great job balancing what could have been a very, very controversial issue. So thanks very much for being here. Charles Franklin, professor of political science at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, also co-developer of Pollster.com. Thanks to Rob Ferret, Cynthia Schuster, and Bill Martins for producing the hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.